provided for you. How would you know that he is Jehovah Nissi, your banner, the one who fights for you, if you never had a battle that you've been in? How would you know that he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth you, if you've never ever been sick? And so God takes you through those things to teach you who he really is. He's not just your savior. He's not just your redeemer. But guess what? He's your friend that's sticking closer than any brother. I wish I had help here. He's El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. We need to know who he is. Amen. We need to know that he's God and he's many things to all of us. Amen. And so we need to be confident and know. That's why he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. It brings about patience. It produces patience. And you see, you got to understand that faith and patience go together. Because the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so when you have faith, you got to hope and wait for it to come to pass. Amen. So when you have faith, you got to have time and patience for those things to substantiate, to bring substance in your life. Amen. But you got to have faith.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34, and as we're nearing the Easter season, that we're in Lenten season now, there were seven last words Jesus spoke from Calvary.
Come on, sir.
Word one was, Father, forgive them. Word two was, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Word three was, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Word four was, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is by interpretation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Word five was, I thirst. Word six was, it is finished. And word seven was, Father, into thine hand I commend my spirit. My question to you is, how could Jesus maintain his focus, his resolve, his purpose while going through so much. And I want to show you in Scripture how we, when we're going through some of the worst times in our lives, can hold on to what we've got. That's why it's so important that when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you make sure that you take advantage of the gift of the Holy Spirit, whose job is to come and dwell on the inside of you to give you everything you need for every trial, every test, and every tribulation that you'll find yourself going through. Can I tell you, God knows what you're going through? Can I tell you, God knew what you were going to go through before you went through?
Yes, Lord.
Can I tell you, no matter what you've gone through, none of it has surprised God? And can I tell you one more thing? Anything God let come to you, he's already approved it for you to come out victorious.
All right, sir.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I'm talking to believers now. I'm not talking to everybody.
Lord, yes, Lord.
I'm talking about believers who are filled with his Spirit. How could Jesus endure all that he endured on the cross?
All right, sir.
As a matter of fact, Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. How could he do that? We need to watch him. We need to learn from him. And we need to learn that what he has done it so we can do it. Remember, he gave us every example as a demonstration for us to be able to duplicate. He demonstrates so we can duplicate. Say it with me, demonstrate. To duplicate. Now, if we're going to do that, then that means we need what he had, right? And I need you to see this. I'm just going to walk you through Scripture this morning. And listen, we can shout when we get it, but I want to give you some basis for shouting. All right, now listen again. So Luke 23, verse 34, read it. Stop. Do you have it?
Amen.
All right, let's begin reading now. Luke 23, verse 34. Now. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now listen, I need you to walk back with me because Jesus is speaking under a major power. And I think you need to know what made Jesus's ministry and mission so powerful here on planet Earth. What made the man so powerful? He had an authentic and attractive and authoritative ministry here on planet Earth that was able to do what no other man or ministry or mission could complete. Now, what I want you to know is he was one, and this is so important, anointed to do everything he did.
All right, sir.
He was anointed. Now, why is anointing so important? Because it is in the anointing that God gives you the power to be able to perform the purpose for which he's called you. See, when you've been given an anointing to do something, It's not you doing it. It's him doing it through you.
All right, sir.
It's not doing it when you feel like doing it. It's you doing it when he tells you to do it. It's him stirring up his gifts in you and making you speak when you don't even feel like speaking. You ever heard the old say, I got something on the inside, make me run, and ain't nobody behind me. Make me laugh, and ain't nothing funny. Make me shout, and ain't nothing wrong. All of that is because of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us evoking emotions and feelings and those things on the inside of us so that we can bring forth God's glory and be a witness in the presence of mankind. Now, let's go back a little bit because I want you to see in John's gospel, in the third chapter, you remember John was baptizing. And Jesus came up to John. He's baptizing. I mean, he's just dunking him down. He said, John, I need you to baptize me. John said, hold up. Oh, I need to be baptized of you. You want me? John was making clear his baptism was unto repentance. Why would Jesus need John to baptize him? He'd never sinned. He'd never done anything wrong. There was no need for Jesus to be baptized unto repentance. And you're right. His baptism wasn't of repentance. Jesus' baptism was unto righteousness. Righteousness. That was a difference. He was baptized, but it wasn't unto repentance. It was unto righteousness. Now, at the end of John's gospel in the third chapter, John is telling his disciples and others who are listening about this man, Jesus, his power, his purpose, etc. And then John says something very interesting in that 34th verse. At the very end of it, John reminds them that when he was baptized, he was given a unlimited amount of the Spirit. His anointing was without limitation. Now that's a powerful point. That's a powerful point. That's important to know. Because remember, God sent Jesus to earth. The deity of Jesus had everything the Father had, everything the Spirit had as the Son of God in heaven. But when he came to earth, Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he poured himself out, which meant when he got down here to planet earth, he started all over again. And so that meant he needed to be filled again. And so as much as he was God, now he needs to be the same thing as man. Now that he is man, he needs to have something that not only he can use, but mankind can use. Because as the Son of God, we could never do the things Jesus did. But as the Son of Man, we can because of the Holy Spirit who was working in Jesus. And therefore, he tells us, the things that I've done, these works you shall do, and greater shall you do, because I do what? I go back to my Father. So why? He was demonstrating so we could duplicate. But again, now keep in mind, he has been given an unlimited amount of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's important to know it's good to have the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to have the nine gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you'll discover all of those gifts are wonderful to have. But more than the gifts and more than the fruit. All of those things were different from what Jesus had that made Jesus who he was. Right. Yes, he had the gifts. Yes, he had the fruit. But he had something else that came before the gifts and before the fruit. Well, you just said that he was baptized and he was given a limitless amount of the Spirit of God. When Jesus was baptized, the divine Trinity showed up at the baptism. Jesus was in the water. God was in the heavens, and he sent the Spirit down like a dove. And so all three of them aligned for a complete coalition, a complete cooperation with Jesus Christ when he was baptized unto righteousness. And God gave him at that time, again, a limitless amount of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to know that what Jesus gave us was a part of that same anointing. And we keep in mind, anointing. Now, Jesus the man was anointed. I want you to say that Jesus the man was anointed. Now, Jesus also was anointed to do ministry work. Ministry work, and Jesus was anointed to do what he did on Calvary, and that is the mission work. Yes. See, Jesus did ministry to point to the mission. Let me say that again. Jesus did ministry to point to the mission. In other words, if he did enough ministry work, then they would see him as a minister of God, as the Savior, the Lord sent, as the one that God had given to mankind to bring him down here so he could bring man back up there.
All right, sir.
To bring man back into a right relationship with the Father, he sent his Son. Now listen at this, because again, I want you to see this, and this is what's again so very important for us to understand. Why was he so successful? I asked the church this morning, if you had gone through everything Jesus had gone through, let's just say the last 24 hours of his life, with mean men driving nails in your hand, nails in your feet, putting a thorny crown on your head, spitting in your face, plucking the beard from your face, slapping you, mocking you, scourging you, doing all of those things that they did to Jesus. When you said your first word, would it be, Father, forgive them?
All right, sir.
Lord, I got a whole bunch of holier than thou folk. Would it be, Father, forgive them? No, mostly not. It'll probably be, Father, get them. Father, do this. Father, whatever. But it wouldn't be no, Father, forgive them. But it showed he kept his focus. He kept his feelings. And he kept his heart and his mind on the familiars whom he was to save. He didn't give up. And the reason he didn't give up is because he had a power stronger than you and I on the inside of him. Let me take you to where, again, Luke 4:18. I want you to turn there because I want you to see Luke 4:18 helps us to understand his ministry. His ministry. Because his ministry helped men to recognize something is special about this man. And he can do some things others were not. The high priest was not able to do. Why? Because he was anointed. Luke 4:18, do you have it?
Yes.
Begin reading now.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Hold up. the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. This is Jesus speaking now. Continue. Stop. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Listen, whenever God anoints you, it's always for something and never for nothing. Some of you want the anointing you see upon other people and how God is using them, but here is the key word, using them. He's not going to give you an anointing to sit. He's not going to give you an anointing to be a spectator.
All right, sir.
He's not going to give you an anointing to wish you would do, wish you could do, but he's giving you an anointing to do.
All right.
And listen, I got news for you. If it's right with God, he anoints you to do what he's called you to do. Now, he's not under warrant to anoint you for stuff you want to do. Did you hear what I just said? You might want to be this or be that, but if that's not God's purpose, he's not going to anoint you for that. He's going to anoint you for what he wants you to do. And too many of us are trying to get God to bend his will toward us when God is saying you need to bend your will toward me. And then God will give you an anointing that will accomplish what you're supposed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had done what? To do what? One, next. Do what? Preach the gospel to the poor. Next. Send me to heal the brokenhearted. Next. To preach deliverance to the captive. What? And the recovering of sight to the blind. Listen, he's telling you what his anointing is there to do ministry work. How important it is for everyone who calls themselves a servant of the Lord to have the anointing of the Lord upon them. Now, Jesus is reading this out of the book of Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, right quick. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Because Jesus has been given a book, and so he turns to this spot. Because what has happened just now is Jesus is saying, this word is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, the time has come for this passage of scripture to be fulfilled in your eyes, your ears, and in your life. You're looking at what you've been reading. Did you hear what I just said? You're looking at what you've been reading. Isaiah 61 and 1, you have it? Say amen. Begin reading now.
The Spirit of the Lord God
is upon me. Go ahead. Okay. 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 Amen. Now, it appears that there were a couple more things added in Luke that Isaiah didn't see. Keep in mind, Isaiah's looking through the portals of time, and he's looking far off. And so he sees much, but he don't see everything. And Jesus goes on and fill in the rest of what he's doing in ministry work. But now here we go, and I'm about to close this message. Let's go back to where it began before Isaiah 61 and 1, before Luke 4 and 18. Let's go back before John 3 and 34, all the way back to Isaiah 11 and 1. Try 11 and 1. Isaiah 11th chapter, verse 1. When you have that, say amen. Not a minute, not enough folks say amen. I'll wait another few seconds. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Okay, begin reading now. A rod out of the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of its root. Now, this is a prophecy and prediction of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, you've got to realize that God has promised King David that his throne would be established forever. There were some things that interplayed during history that made it seem like this might not come true. But if God said it, how many of you know he's big enough to back it up?
Come on, sir.
We don't always see, nor do we always understand what God is doing it. And here is what's important. I know you've heard it before. Hear it again. Just because you can't trace him does not mean you don't trust him.
Come on now. Come on now.
Just because you don't see him at work doesn't mean he's not working behind the scenes. Just because he didn't give you a helpful, holy hint as to what he's doing right now doesn't mean that what he's doing right now is not working for your good. For the Bible says, and we know, and the Noah's in the house, that all things work together. How do they work together? For good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his. I wish I had some witnesses in the house. His purpose. And so God is working it out in your life. You might be going through hell and high water, but I got news for you. You're going to come up on dry land. You might be going through the storm and the rain, but I got news for you. You're going to come up on a sunshiny day. I don't care what you're going through. God's going to bring you through if you trust him, even when you can't trace him.
Come on, sir.
But you got to have something on the inside. Oh, Saint, you just say, I went to the meeting last night.
Yeah.
And my heart just wasn't right. But something got a hold of me. Did you hear what I just said? Something got a hold of me. And I'm here to tell you that something was the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost get a hold of you, he'll make you become what God wants you to be. You no longer in control of you. He's in control of you. And so the Holy Ghost, Isaiah's talking in verse 2, will come upon Jesus. Now I want you to see the seven things. The seven, that perfect number seven, in the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, these are what's called the seven attributes or characteristics of the Holy Ghost. So much more powerful than the gifts. So much more powerful than the fruit. Because without the characteristics, without the attributes of the Holy Spirit, none of these things can be. Let's go through it and then we're going home. One, verse 2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall what? Rest upon him. Do you know what that means? It means the Holy Spirit will get comfortable with him and be at home with him.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow.